house, he prayed, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, your will be done. That's Matthew 26:42. Hebrews 5:8-9, we read, though he were the Son, yet learned he obedient. Oops. Everybody agree? That's hard to do. By the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. To walk with Christ is to obey him. He walked in love, the fourth one. John 13:34-35 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. In John 15:13, he also said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He not only laid down his life for his friends, he did it for his enemies also. And that's true. He died for everybody living then, everybody living since then, and everybody living now. With that sacrifice that he made. You read these words in Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us in his own blood. If we walk with Christ, we will love him. Good. A lot of scripture in this lesson tonight. We see the lives of Christians continually set forth in the New Testament, which tells us how we ought to walk from day to day as God's servants. Hence, the rest of our lesson will deal with our walk as Christians. Again, instead of hours, just say hour. This is one of the last, if not the last, book that Brother Conshin wrote in a whole series of 30 or so books. I don't remember any of the other ones having this many mistakes or errors that were not caught. His wife originally was his proofreader. When she passed, I don't know who did his proofreading. But somebody missed a few here and there. Not a big deal, but we just got to realize that there are a few mistakes and correct them as you go. And if I don't catch them, let me know, Faith. Okay, number one here, Romans 8:1. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Another scripture, Galatians 5:16, says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Number two, Romans 6:4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Not by sight. Number four, Ephesians 4:1-3. There I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation or being a Christian. You come out of the world to become a Christian. You have to walk worthy of being a Christian so people can see what a Christian does and says and acts. Wherefore ye are called. With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. You know what forbearing means? Simply to put up with. Okay, short, quick way to say it. Put up with another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Number five, Ephesians 5:1-2. Be ye therefore followers, or imitators of God, as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Ephesians number 6, Ephesians 5, 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, or formerly darkness, but now you are the light, you are in the light, Lord. Walk as children of light. Good. Number 7, Ephesians 5, 5, 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Circumspectly. Now that sounds like a circle, right? You might think. So we want you to walk in a circle, just keep. No. The word there means carefully, wisely. Be careful, really careful, where you go and how you do it. And then the redeeming, making full use of something. Making full use of it, of your time. Number 8, 1 John 6 and 7. For we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not tell the truth. That's the same thing, isn't it? Lying and telling. So it's a double whammy. Guilty of two things, lying and not telling the truth. Put it all together. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So that's something we really, really near and dear to us as Christians. We know that happens. We can be cleansed at any time from any sin that we confess of. Number 9, 2 John verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received commandments from the Father. Okay, number 10, next page. 2 John verse 6. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Number 11, 1 Thessalonians 4:12. That you walk honestly, properly toward them that are outside or non-Christians, and that you may have lack of nothing. Consider Romans 13:13. Let us walk. Well, we did that one. Okay, I got it. As in the day, not in rioting, drunkenness. So that's honestly again, yes. Not in chambering. That's sexual indulgence. Or wantonness, lust. Not in strife, envy. Consider also Colossians 4:5. Sexual indulgence. Sexual indulgence. Sexual acts outside of marriage or whatever else. Okay? Philippians 3:16. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Doesn't change. God's word does not change. Colossians 1:10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Philippians 3:16. I want to read that in contemporary. Okay, Philippians 3, 12 through 21. If I pulled this right, yeah, okay. Running toward the goals, the caption I have for this set of scriptures. And Paul, several of his writings, mentions running toward a goal. Sports, we get sports that are like the Olympics, this kind of stuff. But he often referred to the Christian life as being a race. You got to stay fit. You got to stay in the race. Don't give up. Here he says, verse 12, I have not yet reached my goal, and I am not perfect. But Christ has taken hold of me, so I keep on running and struggling to take hold of the prize, the winner. He wants to be the winner of this salvation, eternal salvation. My friends, I don't feel that I have already arrived, but I forget what is behind. Don't worry about what's behind. It's gone. And I struggle for what is ahead. I run toward the goal so that I can win the prize of being called to heaven. This is the prize that God offers because of what Jesus Christ has done. All of us who are mature and should ask in the same way, and if any of you think differently, God will make it clear to you. But you must keep going in the direction that you're now headed. You're headed in the right direction, he's telling them. He's being positive. Keep doing it. Don't let up. Keep doing it. My friends, I want you to follow my example and learn from others who closely follow the example we set for you. I often warned you that many people are living as enemies of the cross of Christ. And now, with tears in my eyes, I warn you again that they are headed for hell. They worship their stomachs, brag about their disgusting things that they do. All they can think about are the things of this world. But we are citizens in heaven and are eagerly waiting for our Savior to come from there. So he's looking for Christ to come back. He knew that was going to happen. He is prepared for it to come back at any time. He hasn't come back yet, but he was prepared for it to happen then. Our Lord Jesus Christ has power over everything, and he will make these poor bodies of ours like his own glorious body, which will live eternally. I added those words. Okay. So as you can see, the last paragraph here. Those who imitate the walk of the Lord will certainly stay busy. He is our example. Even in suffering, as Peter said, we should follow his steps. 1 Peter 2:21. He never promised a life of ease to those who choose to follow him. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For even hereto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, in Christ's steps." Okay, that's lesson 7. Let's just get this, start lesson 8, get a little bit done. We ought to think soberly. What? Soberly. Soberly. Clearly. Keep your thoughts clean and pure. To the Roman Christians, Paul wrote in Romans 12:3, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt with to every man a measure of faith." To a great extent, we are what we think. The wisest Old Testament character, which is who? Who is the wisest Old Testament character? Solomon. He stated in these words in Proverbs 23:7. He's the one who wrote the Proverbs. "Whereas he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Jesus explained to his disciples that what goes into the body and exits through natural processes does not defile a person. He said, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come out of the heart, come from the heart, and they defile the man. For our heart, out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. A mind is very much like a garden. It can keep clean of weeds and brambles and produce only beautiful and useful products. Or it can be a receptacle for anything that comes along. Paul urged the Roman Christians to think soberly. What does it mean to think soberly? It means more than to think apart from alcoholic beverages, although it would certainly include anything that would hinder the ability to think clearly. To think soberly means to think seriously, rationally, and without frivolity. So that's where we'll cut right there. So our own thinking can deceive us is where we'll start on page 40 next week, Lord willing. I want to thank you for your kind attention tonight. Let me mark my book so I know where we're at. Thanks for everybody that's here, came tonight. Thanks for your participation. Thanks to the people online for being online with us. Appreciate it. Got about 2 minutes probably. The second bell ring.
Number 586. Numbers 1, 2, and 4. More about Jesus could I know, more of His grace to others show. More of His faithfulness here, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more. For of His love who died for me. For about Jesus let me learn more of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher, be showing the pain.
Sometimes on Wednesday night, Gilbert, I'm pretty sure you think the same thing. It's kind of hard putting a 10-minute sermon together because you got so much information you want to put in it, and then you say, well, I got to take that out. I got to take that out. No, don't take that out. And you sit there, and your wheels are just spinning for at least a half an hour trying to figure it out. Have you ever heard this statement before? Church folks and God's folks are not the same. What do you think? Church folks and God's folks are not the same thing. You may say, that isn't true. Brother Gatewood, you done lost your mind. But have I? What does the body of Christ mean to us? The body of Christ is a term for the church and a good way to understand the church. It affirms that Jesus is the head of the church, and we as believers follow Christ, listen to Christ, and let Christ guide our steps, just as the head of the body does. In Ephesians chapter 1, 17 through 23, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and set him on the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in which is to come, and have put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. And 23, it tells us straight out, which is the body. The fullness of him filleth all in all. You see, God has put Christ over all things. And I'm thankful he has done so because Christ is our lifeline to our Father in heaven. As designed, God designed us to go through his Son, Jesus Christ. That gives us the lifeline to hope. It gives us a lifeline to love. It gives us a lifeline to understanding. But most of all, it gives us a lifeline to everlasting life through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, as I was writing this statement, I was listening to a song, and it's a familiar song to each and every one of us. He's sweet, I know. But it was kind of different because I'm like, that's not the he's sweet, I know. Completely different words. And it said this, I can't forget when I was sad. My head hanging down, soul feeling sad, bad. It's kind of even hard to read this because it's programmed in my head the right way. All I could say was, Lord, take my heart. Jesus heard and saved me and gave me a start. I have my ticket here in my hand. I'm going to that beautiful land. Sometimes I weep, and sometimes I moan. But I'm bound for glory, and I'm going on. He's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. Strong clouds may rise and strong winds may blow, but I'll tell the world wherever I go that I found a Savior, and he's sweet, I know. Isn't it awesome to be in the body, the church, of Jesus Christ our Savior, and as I said before, to guide us and to help us, to protect us while we're here on this earth. But I don't know about you, but we need to be thankful for the opportunity to serve him and our Savior Jesus Christ. Because you see, if Jesus didn't die on the cross, think about it. If he didn't shed his blood, think about it. He didn't raise up on the third day, think about it. Where would you be? Where would you be? Like I said, it's being thankful that he is the head of the church. He's head of the body, that he will be able to guide us and keep us safe. In Ephesians chapter 4, 2 through 4 says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, the church, one spirit, even as you're called in the hope of your calling. I said all that for one thing. Church folks and God's folks aren't the same. Because church folks, you know what they do? They go to church. But God's folks are what? Are the church. And so many times you think about it, and you hear, when I'm going to church, and you kind of look like, well, you better think about it. You are the church. But you see, a lot of people think that this is a building, the church, at 1070 East Cross Street. And that's why sometimes our lives we live are not in line with his word. Because we feel when we walk outside these doors, we have left the church building. But you just don't get it if you don't. You are the church. And whatever we do, we have to remember one thing. With Christ being the body, he knows exactly what we're doing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20, it says, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify in God in your body and in the spirit, which are God's. We need to ask ourselves daily, are we doing what the head of the body saith do, Jesus Christ? If not, then why not? Why not? Because you see, without Jesus' help, we will not be able to make it to heaven. Without his love, we won't make it to heaven. Without his understanding, we won't make it to heaven. We need Jesus. And we need to realize everything that we do. He is the head and we are the body. And when we go out into the world, let's represent that we are the light that shines from Jesus Christ in our lives. We need to change if we haven't. If you're not in Jesus Christ, through baptism, make the decision to become a part of his body, the church. And if you are a Christian and have not continued to obey the head of the body, Jesus Christ, come back home before it's too late. I say to you tonight, if you're in need, I ask you to come as together we stand and sing.
Thank you. Yeah.